Once again, my name is Ray Souza, and it's always a pleasure to be just opening up God's Word and asking God's Spirit to speak to us through His Word. And He does. He does. Sunday, it's really a blessing that we are able to do that. We are able to right now just to sing and just to say what we just said about the God that we serve, you know, the Savior that we follow. We confess with our mouth everything that we said about Him. And then right now we are going to open His Word, and we're going to open in the book of Philippians chapter 2, and we are believing and we are asking God's Spirit to speak to us, to encourage us, to minister to our hearts. And do we need to change the mic? Yeah? Getting some return. Whoa. 1, 2, 3, 4. We good? Yeah? All right.
I'll bring this up just in
Okay. case. You want me to change?
I think you're okay.
Yeah? All right.
But there's a backup. Just in case you need it.
Yeah.
It's off.
Okay. Let me know if it's... Do you still hear a return or no? No? We good?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Should we change?
No.
All right. All right. Father, thank you so much for your presence here with us. Thank you so much for Good News Church and the blessing it is for us to be together in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to change because I can hear that. So, the blue. All right. Awesome. It's much better now with the blue. I am so glad that we are talking about joy because, you know, the book of Philippians, it's all about the joy of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but we need the joy of the Lord in our lives. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord, it's our strength. See, the battle that we have daily, right, the spiritual battle, the weapons that God wants us to use, they are not the weapons that we form to use. They are like spiritual weapons. And joy, it's an amazing weapon that God has given us. And so having the joy of the Lord because of our connection with Him, brings a provision of strength for the day by day on our lives. So we are talking about that. We are using the book from Warren Wisby, Be Joyful, and it has been great. I love how he divided the chapters this way. I think I have a slide here. It's the single-minded. It's Philippians chapter 1. The submissive mind, and that's the one that we're going to talk about today, Philippians chapter 2, and we're not going to do the whole chapter. We're going to do just like 1 to 11, and Drew is going to finish that. And then Philippians chapter 3, it's the spiritual mind, and Philippians chapter 4, it's the secure mind. And it's so cool how, as you read those chapters, it does have to do with that. And today, specifically, we're going to talk about how oneness with Jesus and others produces joy in our lives. Oneness with Jesus and others produce joy in our life. So, you know, as we learn in chapter 1 that the secret of joy, in spite of the circumstances, it is to have a single mind, a mind that it's like focus in Jesus Christ, right? And we learned that circumstances, it's one of the stealers of our joy. And having a single mind help us to not be robbed of the joy that the Lord has for us. And then here in chapter 2, the secret of joy in spite of people. And we learned that people can rob and steal our joy as well. So the secret of joy in spite of people is to have a submissive mind. And we're going to talk about that in chapter 2 here. We have in chapter 2, we have four examples of humility. The first one, it's Jesus Christ. The second one is Paul. The third one, it's Timothy. And the fourth one, it's Epaphroditus. And I'm going to be talking just about Jesus, and I think Drew is going to be talking about the other examples of humility. If you are using on your phone or in your Bible, if you are using the NIV version, the NIV version entitled this portion of Scripture as Imitating Christ's Humility. Imitating Christ's humility. And I love Warren Wiersbe. In the book, he gives us this quote from Andrew Murray. And the quotes say this: humility is that grace that when you know you have it, you have lost it. Humility is that grace that when you know you have it, you have just lost it. And today, you know, just quickly, because I want us to participate in communion together, we have read the book, we have done in the studies during the week as well, this portion is specific because of the delay with snow. So today I just would like to just share from my heart a few things that kind of like jump out of the page for me here in Philippians 2:1. If I could say about this message, it's really like a confessional message. It's confessing to God how short, you know, I am from what I'm just reading here and what he's expecting. And I believe that you will find the same. You're going to read and you go like, wow, Lord, I need your help with this. You know, if this is talking about imitating Christ's humility, I can say confession number one from the beginning, I'm not a humble person. And, you know, I hate to say that, you know, some people might say that, you know, I'm humble. Sometimes my wife would say, I know I'm not a humble person. And that's why I need this portion of Scripture. And I need Jesus Christ every single day to remind me of this truth, because, you know, we want to imitate him, right? We want to imitate him. So here's our text. It is precious. It is deep and wide. I could just read it and we could just like say, amen, and just like go home with this text. It is that precious, and it goes like this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit, and being one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking for your own interest, but each one of you, the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mind as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, but by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So, I don't know about you, but, you know, after reading this portion of scripture here, you know, I have to confess, God, there is so much work to do. There is so much work to do in my personal life about what I just read, about you are calling me to in this passage here. I need your spirit to inspire me, to bring to my mind this profound truth from God's word. And from this point on, if you don't mind, when I refer to Philippians 2, I'm going to be using the Message Bible version that kind of like amplifies and put in different words the same thing, but it's beautiful. Like, for example, verse 1 and verse 2, it goes like this. If you have gotten anything out of following Christ, have you got anything out of following Christ? I have got the world out of following Christ. How about you? We have got a lot out of following Christ. If his love has made any difference in your life, has his love made any difference in your life? Wow. Like life and death, right? That's what his love, that's the difference his love have made in our life. If being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, and here we are, the Spirit of God is here with us, and we are in this community of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but it's awesome to be together. After not being together for 2 weeks, I couldn't wait for us, you know, to be together in our community of the Spirit here. It means a lot to us. It means a lot to us. And then Paul goes like, through the Holy Spirit, he goes like, if you have a heart inside of your chest, anybody? Do you all have a heart inside of our chest? And if you care, if you really care, do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep spirit friends. Think about that. Agree with one another. Love with one another. And be deep spirit with the Spirit of the Lord, friends. This is a beautiful call to unity for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe here specifically because the church was having some problem with division. And Paul, you know, guided by the Spirit, had to write to them about the importance of unity in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of Jesus Christ. And as we read in the book, you know, unity, it's not like uniformity, right? Unity comes from within. It comes from our heart. It's a matter of the heart. Uniformity, it's just a result of the pressures, you know, from outside. But God is calling us to unity. And I have to say, and I have to confess that I experienced that here at Good News Church. I really do. We are a young church, but we have already faced some like exciting, difficult challenges, you know, in our young tenure as a church. But I believe that we are choosing to agree with one another. We are choosing to love one another. We are choosing to be one in the spirit and mind with God and one another. We are not perfect, but boy, we are aspiring Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And brothers and sisters, let's continue to do that. Let's continue. That's the beauty. It's not the building that we meet. It's not how much we have in our savings. It's really what we bring in our hearts to share with one another the love of God, the forgiveness that we have, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That is beautiful. That's what keeps us wanting to come week after week to, you know, sometimes during the week, you know, to get together so we can be encouraged, so that we can love one another. So, you know, let's guard our hearts because, you know, churches all over the world, you know, the enemy is trying to destroy. The enemy is trying to bash. The enemy is trying to, you know, it's like, why church? Well, the church is the body of Jesus Christ, is the live expression that he lives. And he means business, business of transforming people's life, business of like encouraging, business of like healing people, business of like directing people to an eternal destination. He is in business. And I don't know about you, but I feel like, you know, we have a little bit of that right here at Good News Church. And I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the part that you play on that. Thank you. Verse 3 and 4, it goes like this from the Message Bible. Don't push yourself to the front. Anyone right there? Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Anyone like that? My charming people right there. Put yourself aside and help others to get ahead. In humility, value orders others about yourself. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Once again, Lord, would you help me? Because sometimes I feel myself, remember the movie Nemo? And remember the little fish, Dory? And she had a bad problem of like short memory. I feel like Dory sometimes. I really do. You know, God is telling me things and I'm like, yes, Lord, yes. And then, you know, I turn around and there I am, selfish. There I am, all about myself. There I am, letting my thoughts just go like whatever it wanna go. Letting my attitudes follow my thoughts. And that hurts people. That hurts other people. So, you know, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Spirit of the Lord so that, you know, we can forget ourselves long enough to lend a helping hand to others. And you know what? This, naturally speaking, would be like impossible, right? And I totally agree, you know, it's not in our own strength that we can get ourselves by the collar and go like, hey, from now on, stop being selfish. You know, from now on, start like helping people, loving people, thinking about people and not so, you know, full of your own self. And I wish doing that would help and work, but it doesn't. It doesn't. The only way that this could work, it's because of verse 5 and 8. The only way that this could work, it's because of Jesus Christ. He is the one that came and blew this ocean of selfishness out of the water to make it possible for me and you to be more like him. I love verse 5 and 8, it goes like this. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to climb to the advantage of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity, and he took the status of a slave, and he became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless life, obedient life, and then he died a selfless and obedient death. In the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion death. So if the secret of joy, as we are studying, it's in the mind, I believe here is the secret disclosed. Think with Christ. Think like Christ. Have the same mindset of Christ about yourself and about others. We read here that he put himself aside. He emptied himself. The one that was one with the Father, the one that could boast as the Son of God, the one that was the member of the Trinity, he chose to humble himself. He emptied himself so that the Father could fill him up. He set aside his privileges for others. He became obedient to death, even a death on a cross, the worst possible. And I love this picture. Here we have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, emptying himself so that his Father could fill him in. And what a great idea. What a great idea. What a way to, make this possible in our own lives. To present ourselves to God daily, preferably, and to empty ourselves. How do we empty ourselves? We confess to God. We say, God, I am full of only you know what. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with patience. Fill me with your spirit. And again, I wish that, if we did that once a month, I wish that was enough, right? Fuel to go on for the whole month. But it seems to me that it is a better recipe to come to him every single day, even before I am with people, to be with him and to empty myself like my Savior did. And let the Lord, our Father, to fill us up. Fill us up with something that when we see, our wife, when we see our kids, when we see people at work, people at school, instead of responding naturally with whatever was the feel that was inside, good or bad, we have a feel that is from God. That when we open our mouth or our hands and our arms, it could bless someone. It could minister to someone. See, this, to imitate Christ's humility, it takes a sovereign work of the Lord. And thank God for that. Thank God that me and you are not being called to manufacture that, because it doesn't work. It is really like coming to the confession point, coming to him and say, Lord, I can't. But it is your idea. You are calling me to walk in this path, but you are giving me what I need to walk in this path. Help me to think with you today. Help me to have your mind today. Help me to imitate you today. And as we, you know, read in that little book, and we can see clearly here that, you know, some of the characteristic of the submissive mind, it's a mind that it's like thinking with God. It's a mind that it's thinking of others and not self. It's a mind that it's serving others and not self. It's a mind that it's even like sacrificing for others and not self, with the end goal of glorifying God. And how does that look like for you? I was thinking, you know, and again, because of the shutdown and this message I was supposed to be sharing like 2 weeks ago, and here I have to carry like, you know, Philippians 2, 1 to 11 for 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, there were some tests that God put along the road, you know, to see like how I was doing. I'm telling you, some real ones, you know. But it was great. It was great. It was such a good challenge. And then the last part goes like this, verse 9 to 11. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high, and he honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. You know, God honor Jesus for doing that. God exalted him for doing what, you know, natural mind and natural view was like, you don't do that. You know, that's like, who is going to think of you if you take on like this, you know, imitating Jesus Christ in humility? You know, what about you, right? Well, what about Jesus Christ? God honored him. God exalted him. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to bless us, and we are not looking for, you know, his exaltation in our lives, but, you know, he honored those that honor him. He does. You know, I love Matthew 23, 12. It says this, but those who exalt themselves, they will be humbled. Been there, done that. Those who humble themselves, they will be exalted. Not by man, by God. James 4, 6, it says, God, he opposes the proud. And I don't know the stage that you are here today on this Sunday morning. You know, maybe there is pride. And maybe you don't know why things are not going so well as you wanted to. Who knows? I'm not affirming. But maybe it is God that is opposing you. And he does because he loves you. He does because he wants to bless you. He wants to show favor to you. God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. So quickly and very quickly, you know, verse 10, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So today, the message is simple. Look to the one who saved you. Look at his heart. Think with him. Think like him. Because when we do that, we are going to be able to do what he's calling us to do to others, to love others, to serve others, to sacrifice if necessary for others. And God will bless us and exalt us. Oneness with Jesus, bring oneness with others, and a submissive mind that produces humility, and it helps us to experience true joy that serves us as a pillar of strength. And I would love, you know, as we're talking about serving others, loving others, sacrificing for others, this is one of my favorite poems, and I have given you a copy of it. If you don't have, I can give you one. But it's called Others, and it's by Charles Meigs. There is a beautiful story behind this poem, but I don't have time because we're going to do communion right after this. But I would like to finish by reading this poem called Others. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you, I must need to be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be raised again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I have won while still thinking of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me, Lord, to live for others, that I may live like thee. And that is pretty good news for us this morning today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this portion of Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 5. Yes, Lord, a lot to ponder, a lot to take deep into our hearts, but it is with a great, great purpose. Oh, Lord, it is with a great, great purpose. Father, thank you for you taking the initiative. And the initiative was at the cross of Calvary that made everything possible. You showed us a kind of love that fixed everything, Lord. You paid for our sins. You gave us a new life. You made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now we can live life differently. Differently than the natural. Differently than the rest of the world and the world mentality. A life that is your dream in creating us. So, Father, today we are just here and we are presenting ourselves to you and asking you to have your way in our lives. If necessary, Lord, this morning we are confessing to you, Lord, like, I'm so sorry. I have been so full of my own self. And help me, O Lord. I empty myself so that you can fill me. Fill me with your love, fill me with your grace, fill me with your forgiveness, fill me with your healing, fill me with hope, fill me with your joy, the joy of the Lord, and may that serve as a great pillar of strength for each one of us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. And amen. Hey, so we are participating in communion this morning. And I asked Dwight to say a few words about the bread and pray and minister to us. And I asked Dave Lee to say a few words about the cup and to pray and minister to us. And I would like to ask them to come here and get your elements for us to participate in communion. The only thing that I want to say, it's this here, 1 Corinthians 11:28. It says this when we are to participate in communion. It says, you know, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. So, you know, God wants this examination to take place, you know, before we partake communion. And it's an examination that involves confession of sin, right? Just like we did a few minutes ago, we confessed to him. It's an examination that foster, you know, a contrite heart. And it's an examination that seeks like reconciliation with others, forgiving others because he has forgiven us. You know, just like we heard in the message today, he wants us to love. He wants us to serve. And if there's anything between you and the Lord that kind of displeases the Lord, you can just confess up. You can just say the same thing that he says. You can examine yourself. And I would like to just give you a minute that if there's anything that needs to be said to the Lord so that you can go and eat and drink and participate in a way that glorifies our Lord. Amen. So let's just take a minute, and then I'm going to ask Dwight to say a few words about the bread and share with us, and then Dave.
Okay. So, you know, as I was thinking about this and speaking about the communion itself, I think back and remember, I appreciated so much that Drew had shared before about what communion is and how it was delivered to the disciples with Jesus that night, and how he was really giving them something to help them remember. We're like Dory, as Ray was saying earlier. We forget so often. But he gave this as a regular event so that we would remember how much he loves us. That's the thing that really struck me, is the communion is a time that we can reflect how much God loves us. And he uses these symbols, the bread and the wine, which the disciples and even us today, we're very familiar with because we know Jesus' teachings. And the bread specifically, if you remember the sermon that Joe Song preached this last summer about being the bread of life, that was really something that was struck me as I was thinking through this and remembering how he goes through the Jesus had just fed 5,000 people and filled their bellies. He had filled them with the things that they were hungry for. And then he goes off. He goes on the other side of the lake, and the crowds follow him. And they catch up to him, and Jesus confronts them and says, you know, you're here not because of the miracles, but because I filled your belly and you want more. But he then tells them, he says, there's more to this. It's not just worldly hungers. I'm here to fill you with something that will be so much more. And in John 6:35, it says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So Jesus wants to give us more than the many things that we find ourselves hungering and chasing for in this life. And another verse that I really think about a lot, it was one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, is about the two individuals who were walking on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion. And all the disciples and their followers were just dejected and didn't know what to do. And these two guys walking along, and Jesus shows up. They didn't know it was Jesus, starts having a conversation, and he starts opening up the truth to them and feeding them. And they were just eating it up to the point where they get to the town. They say, no, stay and have a meal with me. And they sit down, and it says in verses 30, 31 of Luke 24, it says, when he, Jesus, was at the table with them, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were open and they recognized him. So it was a supernatural experience that they went through at that moment in the breaking of the bread. And I think of that often when we think about having communion and we break bread together. We're remembering how much he loves us, and we're also experiencing something supernatural. It doesn't always feel supernatural to me. There are times when I can genuinely say, I feel Jesus' presence with me stronger. When we do this in community and we do it together, it's just a time that we can reflect and remember on that. So with that in mind, why don't you join me in prayer before we break the bread? Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. So thankful, Lord, that you instituted this regular remembrance of breaking bread and drinking wine together so that we can meditate and focus and be encouraged by the fact that you are our bread. You're the life that fills us up and never leaves us hungry. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for your gracious love for us. So as we partake today, Lord, fill us. Help us to feel and know your presence and love you and love each other more. In Jesus' name. So, as it says in Luke 22, and he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.
So what comes to mind when you see this cup? It's the representation of Christ's blood shed for us. It's a big and heavy question. The first thing that comes to my mind is it's almost unbelievable. And I say almost, it's hard to understand, but it's almost unbelievable because as God's beloved children, we do believe. We don't have to understand completely. And we believe because Jesus came to give us his life for us only because God gave us that gift of faith. I mean, think about that. How lost can we be that when hearing the truth of the gospel, that we can't understand or believe it without God's help and his gift? That's helpless. The second thing I think about is when seeing this cup is how many animals would have to be sacrificed. How much blood would have to be poured out to cover my sins? If you read the Old Testament about the sacrifice in the temples, it was a bloody mess. How many spotless lambs would it take to cover my sins? There'd be a river of blood flowing from that temple constantly. But God, those are some of my favorite words in the Bible, but God, in his infinite love, mercy, and grace, with the blood of one perfect, sinless lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, he paid for every one of our sins, past the ones today and the ones tomorrow. What an amazing and almost unbelievable gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of faith to believe and to receive your one and only Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, as our Lord and Savior. We confess we have sinned against you. Forgive us our sins. There are so many. But your love and mercy are greater. Thank you for the blood of Christ that washes us clean so that we have peace and eternal life with you. Lord, use this sacrament to remind us what you've done for us and to make us more like Jesus. Amen.